Hello, everybody. This is Tim Riddle. Welcome to the Discover Blind Spots podcast, where we believe what you don't see can actually hurt you. And this is day two of my attending Michael Hyatt's 5 Days to Your Best Year Ever live event in Nashville, Tennessee. And so we just finished day two of three. And if you've been following, I told you I would provide an update of my experience each day. And so if you didn't get a chance to check out yesterday's, I'd encourage you to do that. We were sort of laying the foundation yesterday, and today we jumped into goals. And so I was able to write some goals and actually get them on paper, which was really good. Which brings me to my first point that we learned today is that your goals have to be written down. And so here's some stats you might like. 42%, you're 42% more likely to achieve your goals by just writing them down. It makes that big of a difference. I remember in the marketplace when we were launching a product many years ago, and we were trying to figure out, and we really were launching a concept. We didn't really, at the time, it was a custom product, and we didn't have it ready to give to the customer at that point. And so we were trying to get the customer to commit to do it. And so we put together a little form, really didn't mean anything, where all we did was took their name and information, and we gave it to them and asked them to sign it. And all of a sudden, that made all the difference in the world. So certainly support for the benefits of writing things down. So write your goals down. We learned about our goals. We learned about our goals need to be specific and narrow, and I'll go through that framework in just a minute. They call them smarter goals. You've heard of SMART goals. Michael Hyatt's version is smarter goals. But let me give you an example. Like, one of the things that we want to make sure is that for our goals to be specific, here's an example. A good goal would be, hey, I want to learn photography in 2019. But a better, smarter goal would be, I want to complete a specific photography course on March 1st of 2019. So we want to have smarter goals. So what does smarter goals stand for? And let's go through it. First of all, smarter, specific. The S stands for specific. We need to narrow our focus. And the illustration used, which was a good one, which was basically we want to make sure that the pipe, you know, like for example, if you have water coming through a pipe and it's a larger pipe and you close that in and have that water start running through a smaller pipe, it ends up creating more pressure. It's like when you have a garden hose and water comes out, you put a nozzle on the end of it and all of a sudden the pressure, you can, you know, squirt that nozzle and so forth. So the more specific, the more powerful that goal can be. Second, it needs to be measurable. By being measurable, it keeps you engaged if you can measure it. In other words, it's almost like you're playing a game. If you can calculate the score, it keeps you engaged. The A for smarter goals, the A, it needs to be actionable. In other words, when you write your goals, you need to have action verbs, as opposed to passive verbs. You need verbs like, you know, I'm going to eliminate this. I'm going to run, you know, this race. I'm going to finish this, whatever it is, as opposed to I plan to do this or I want to do this. The R in SMART goals, you probably know when that was originally, I forget who came out with the SMART goal strategy, but the R always stood for realistic. And Michael Hyatt believes that realistic is overrated and the R should not be realistic, but should stand for risky. In other words, we need to dream big goals. And I think that's so important. That was helpful for me because I've been dreaming some big goals lately. And I think sometimes as we get older, I think I talked about this yesterday, I'm not sure, but as we get older, we tend to limit our past, limits our future. Our past experiences have a limitation. So we need to break out of that and dream big goals. Part of the idea of risky goals is that they, the advantage of them is they inspire enthusiasm, they demand creativity, and they enhance your results. So I want to jot those down. Inspire enthusiasm, demand creativity, and enhance your results. Now, for risky goals, just so you know, you might say, well, you know, for example, I might say I want to, some of you know I like to ride a bike, you know, well, my goal is I want to win the Tour de France. Well, that's a risky goal, but it's an unreasonable goal as well. So here are three phases or zones maybe that your goals can fall in. Number one is a comfort zone. Number two is a discomfort zone. And number three is a delusional zone. So our goals should not fall in the comfort zone, should not fall in the delusional zone, but should fall in the discomfort zone. I heard Michael Hyatt say he likes to get close to delusional and then dial it back a little bit in order to challenge himself, stretch himself to go maybe a little further than he normally would. For SMART, the T stands for time keyed, meaning that the goals need to have some type of a time trigger or deadlines in order to reach. And there are two really types of goals that we focused on today that would fall in this category. One is called achievement goals, where basically you say, I want to be able to, or I plan to, or those aren't the right kind of words. I'm going to run, or I'm going to finish, or I'm going to complete, actionable words, something by this particular date, something that you're going to achieve. Whereas a habit goal would mean you're going to do the same thing, you know, every day, every week, every month, whatever that is, and you're going to keep doing it over and over and over. And for a habit goal, you're going to look at success based on how many streaks, how long your streak is of doing those habits. And you're probably never going to get 100%, but maybe you could get 80, 85% of a habit goal is considered success. Success for an achievement goal is you accomplish the goal. So that's pretty easy to measure. But these time-keyed triggers and deadlines are important to pay attention to. The difference between smarter, Michael Hyatt adds the ER on the end, and so the E stands for exciting. Our goals need to be exciting. They need to be goals that motivate us, not boring goals, not goals that, you know, cause us to wake up in the middle of the night, monopolizing, you know, kind of our every minute of everything we do, crippling us, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, kind of holding us hostage. We don't want that to happen. But they need to be exciting goals so that it motivates us to keep going. Remember this, all goals are projects, but not all projects are goals. For example, if you have a project that you need to do that's, you know, I need to clean out the garage or I need to clean out the attic. Well, I mean, you could set that as a goal, but if that doesn't excite you, just make that a project and just knock it out and get it done. All goals are projects for sure, but not every project that you do needs to be considered a goal. And then last, the R for smarter goals. The R stands for relevant. The goals need to be relevant for your It must align with your season of life, your values, and then it also must align with your other goals. Because you remember yesterday I talked about our goals should fall in potentially 10 domains. Those domains are spiritual, intellectual, emotional, physical, marital, parental, social, vocational, avocational, which is your hobbies and so forth, and financial. So you don't have to do goals in all of those, create goals in all of those 10 domains, but you shouldn't create goals just in one domain. You shouldn't look at it as a single focused particular area, or you're probably going to have some conflict in your life if you're just focused in that one particular area. So our goals need to be relevant to the other goals that might be in the other domains. You don't want your goals competing against each other. So that was our goals. That's what we did. We actually wrote those out, which was kind of cool. We spent some time really writing, listing them out, and so forth. And here was the kind of the guidelines for us was that was that we would only have 10 goals, 7 to 10, 10 maximum. I tried to cheat. I tried to add a few extra, but we only had, ironically, he only gave us sheets for 10. That was by design. I did cheat a little bit. I combined a couple where I listed a couple under one goal that was under the same theme, but that's okay. But 7 to 10 goals. So I have mine. Mine actually reached, covered 6 of the 10 domains. So my goals stretched out over 6 of the 10 domains. So I feel like I accomplished a lot today by having this roadmap laid out for the year, at least identified of what some of these destinations were. Some of the goals I had were habit goals. Other goals I had were achievement goals. I didn't count those. I don't know. It might be 50-50, maybe 60-40 achievement over habit. Just trying to remember off the top of my head. But both habit and achievement goals, and they're written down. So they're all written down, ready to kind of go to the next level. So after we wrote our goals, we spent the afternoon talking about our motivations for each one of those goals. And so this is part of the substance that I think is valuable, because most of the time we write our goals down and then we launch into trying to execute them. And we end up, we talked about this area, and I love his terminology. I've talked about it in the past in some leadership circles, but I always talk about, when you start out, things are sexy and they're exciting and so forth, and when you finish something, it's exciting and you feel a sense of accomplishment. But the middle part is just, you just kind of put your head down and need to just fight right through it. Just keep grinding through it. And that's where we drop out of the game sometimes. Michael Hyatt calls it the messy middle. Actually, it came from Donald Miller talking about the messy middle, that time where you lose focus, you get distracted. It's a time where you feel like that you might drop out of the game, drop that goal, can't achieve it. And so in order to help you through the messy middle, you need to write down your motivations for each of your goals. So I had to write a list of motivations for each one, and then I had to rank them the top three, basically. I had to pick the top three motivations for each of the goals. So why is that? In the middle of June, if I have a goal that's due in December and I've lost track of it, I can look at the goal and read it, and it might just frustrate me because I haven't made any progress, but I might need to be reminded of why, what was the motivation for me to actually set that goal. So the whole focus of the last half of the day was trying to help us find our why that we chose each specific goal. And that was good. So that wrapped up today. I have my goals written down, as I said. I have my motivations listed for each goal. I have 10 goals, maybe a couple of more, maybe around six domains or so. And I would tell you that today was another really good day. I would highly encourage you to adopt some of these principles in your goal planning for 2019. If you don't do anything else, at least write them down. And then tomorrow, we're going to talk about execution, sort of the execution plans, the action plans of making sure that we keep our goals front and center and that we're making a little progress on them each day. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'll give you another update tomorrow night, another podcast update. So look forward to sharing that with you. Again, I hope this has been beneficial. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow and listen, and you'll basically in a short period of time have what I've learned, the highlights of what I've spent my, would be 3 days here in Nashville, and I hope that I'm able to pass some of that benefit on to you. So until tomorrow, hope you have a good rest of the day. We'll see you tomorrow.